Welcome to Dracena Wines Podcast. Our wines plus your moments equals great memories. I'm your host, Lori, and this is a podcast about all things wine.
All right, okay. We are live.
We are live. Hey,
Happy
Danny.
Monday.
Happy Monday. Welcome to Wine Fabette Street. How are you doing tonight, Debbie?
I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic.
How
about you?
I'm ecstatic because in just 48 hours, I will be on a plane back to the correct coast, back to the right coast, and I get to see my boys, get to see Mike in Vegas in 48 hours, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Oh, that's right, because it's the holidays this week.
Right.
There
so
you go.
School gets out at 1:30, I'm leaving, and I'm on a plane at 4. So we are good to go.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Are we ready?
Myself here, so I'm kind of like looking forward to getting a lot of work done. No interruptions.
Where's the puppies?
Well, right now the little one is in her crate crying.
Aww.
And the older one is lying on my bed doing what she does best, sleeping.
That's good. That is good.
Little one's not that happy that she's downstairs in her crate, but I said, look, you know, she's a very needy puppy.
Yeah. She's a little too young to come to Wine Fabette Street.
Yeah. Although she does like to put her nose in the wine glass.
Smart dog.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get started.
Get this party rolling.
Woohoo! Have you seen that Elmo is back? Laughing Elmo is back.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I think it's going to be on my Christmas list. I'm going to be the... or my birthday. My birthday comes first. So maybe my birthday or Christmas list. And Mike will think I'm insane for it. But that's okay. I think we need a little Elmo here, you know.
Dude. We might need props. I'll get the Cookie Monster. He was my favorite.
There you go. Actually, my all-time favorite is Snuffleupagus. He was my favorite.
He was
my favorite. But Elmo, you know, Elmo is near and dear to the heart, you know, for Wine Fabette Street. But anyway, so Debbie, introduce, what is our letter of our day is D, and we are drinking...
Dolcetto!
Woo! Dolcetto! There we go. Now, I know that there are some Dolcetto fans out there, specifically Larry the Wine Guy in Florida. So if you are watching this or you watch this later, here's our little shout out to you. And thank you for the video vlog for the ABC Wines that gave us a little intro to Dolcetto, which actually helped me quite a bit because it allowed me to know that I wanted to go to a specific DOC when I was looking up to get my Dolcetto. So we are going to start off with, why don't you introduce yourself?
I am Debbie Giaquinto. I can't even say my last name here. Debbie Giaquinto.
Cheers.
And I only had half a glass of wine. Lori caught me pouring my first glass.
Love that sound.
I'm known as the Hudson Valley Wine Goddess. I'm a wine writer, wine blogger, and wine educator. And I recently just published a book called Happy in the Hudson Valley, which is day trips and weekend itineraries visiting the Hudson Valley, which Lori is going to be doing soon.
Yay!
And... yeah, and she's staying in a property that is in my book, too. So I'm really excited to hear your feedback from that.
Anyway,
that's about it. And I got a husband, two kids, two dogs.
Full house.
That's right.
Well, you need to, when we get together in October, you need to bring me a book so I can get one. But I only want it if it's autographed. I'm sorry. I don't take books that are not autographed. Autographed
copy. And I was thinking about other places that you guys can go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, besides wine, like Crown Maple. That's really, you got to go there.
Okay.
And that's out by where you're staying.
All right. Awesome. We will talk.
Entertainment. You can go to Daryl's house. And yeah. I got you covered.
All right. I knew you would.
I'll hook you up.
All right. I knew I was going to the expert. Going to the expert to give us the long weekend. So anyway, today we are talking about Dolcetto. And I have to admit, it was a tough grape, man. It was tough to find stuff on it, and it was not very easy to find a wine even. I mean, our wine shop had a few of them, but it wasn't a large selection to choose from. Did you have difficulty finding a bottle?
Well, I happen to be in this really nice wine shop, Boutique Wines and Spirits in Fishkill. And I was talking to Paige about it, and, you know, we knew about Dolcetto, and she's like, oh, I got a really good one. So she picked this one out for me.
Oh, all right. So, see, good to have connections. You know. Good to have connections. So
yeah.
I'm going to cover what wee little bit of history I can find, I was able to find on Dolcetto. First and foremost, it is a Piedmont, and I'm probably saying that wrong. My Italian is horrible. I know it's also Piemonte, if we wanted to speak that way, right?
I always said Piedmont.
Piedmont?
That's how I always say it.
All right. So it is actually known as, and I thought this was pretty funny, it is known as the poor cousin to Nebbiola and Barbera. And it is also known as the third red wine grape of Piedmont.
It's worse than the middle child.
I know, right? It's a horrible nickname. So anyway, the reason why is that although it's an easy growing grape and it's an early ripening variety, it has to be in very specific areas. So it is relegated to the cooler vineyard sites, those at higher elevations, where, you know, the fussier ones, you know, the more prim and proper grapes, you know, they don't really want to be there. But Dolcetto actually does grow there. So like you would think if the prim and proper grapes can't grow there and yet they can plant this Dolcetto, that they would be all happy for it, but they treat it like, you know, the redheaded stepchild, you know?
yep, they do.
So it was, I mean, I felt, oh, this is so bad, man. The two nicknames, third red wine grape and the poor cousin. I mean, that's just not good. That's just not good. And to top it off, Dolcetto is probably the vine with the most authentic Piedmontese origin. I mean, it's got the most, like, I guess, DNA history of that region. So you would think it would have more, you know, respect. Ah, it's the Rodney Dangerfield of grapes. That's what it is. And half the people are going to have no clue who that guy is, right?
Well, you know, yeah, they've got to know Rodney Dangerfield.
I hope so.
Maybe not.
Google it if you're a millennial. Yes. Google it. Anyway, there was very little on the history of Dolcetto. The first documents of the cultivation of Dolcetto date back to like the 16th century. But they're really not sure when it actually became a grape variety. They think it's older than that, but that's all that they can say. And for some unknown reason, there is very little written documentation on this grape at all. Like if you scour the books, there's hardly anything written. You know, normally like generation to generation, they hand down written information about a grape variety. None of that for Dolcetto. Dolcetto itself actually means little sweet one, which is a little misnomer because it's not really typically a sweet wine. Although mine is actually off dry, it's got 3.8 grams of residual in it. But I wouldn't at all call it a sweet wine at all. They think that as opposed to being named a little sweet one because it's a sweet wine, it's named to the actual sugar levels because of the hills that it's on. But it is typically fermented to dryness. So there's another misnomer about Dolcetto. Now, throughout everything I hunted, two theories, and that is it, on the history of Dolcetto. All right. One theory suggests that the grape originated in France and was brought to the Monferrato sometime in the 11th century. The other theory is that it originated in Piedmont, village of Dogliani. Now, that to me makes a lot more sense, since Dogliani is really the DOC for Dolcetto. So I think that that makes a little bit more sense. But, you know, you have to have conspiring theories.
Right.
Pretty much the only written documentation they have is in 1633, where they have the presence of Dolcetto in the cellars of the Arborio family in Valenza. Now, I don't know who the heck the Arborio family is. I don't know if they're historical significance.
They live down the street from me in Poughkeepsie, the
Arborio
family.
Say hi to them.
They live in Florida now.
Yeah, I don't know who they are, but I'm horrible at history, so maybe they are a famous family, but I have no idea who they are. And then the coup de grace of Dolcetto's history is in 1700. Barnaba Centurion sent the wine as a gift to Queen Anne of Great Britain. Once again, I do know who Queen Anne is, but I have no idea who Barnaba Centurion is. So I don't. Good for him. Good for her. I guess she liked Dolcetto. Now, along with
She did after she got the bottle.
Absolutely. Yep. Maybe he turned her on to it. Who knows?
That's right.
Along with the French grape Chattis, Dolcetto is actually the parent variety to several Piedmonte grapes, including Valentino Nero, Passus, and San Martino. So Dolcetto got around quite a bit. We have regulations on what makes a Dolcetto, and we have actually 7 DOCs for that are allowed to call it Dolcetto on the label. And all but one of these DOCs have 2 versions of Dolcetto. There's a standard version, which has to have a minimum of 11.5% alcohol, and then a superior, which has to have 12.5%. And they are Dolcetto di Dogliani, which is, I'm going to go with there. If you're going to pick a Dolcetto, those seem to be the most highest quality. Again, the history dates back to showing that that's the possible origin of the grape. Dolcetto di Acqui, Dolcetto di Alba, and that is, if you go into the store, you're going to see mostly that. That is the biggest, widest production of Dolcetto. Dolcetto di Aste, Dolcetto delle Lenghe Meringhelesi. How's that? I have no idea how to pronounce it. Dolcetto di Avado, and then Lenghe Dolcetto, that's the one that doesn't have the superior. So that's pretty much the only history there is. The other kind of weird thing about Dolcetto is that outside of Italy, Dolcetto is known as Dolce Nor and Charbano in California. But UC Davis kind of went, they did DNA analysis on it, and it turns out that those two, Dolce Nor and Charbano, are not, in fact, Dolcetto. But you know what? California's like, we're going to call it that anyway. We're sticking to Charbano. We're still calling it our version of Dolcetto. But UC Davis says genetically it is not.
Have you ever had one from California?
I have not, but apparently, apparently it's pretty darn popular in plantings out there. And I have seen Charbano. I have seen that. And I'm blanking on the winery that I've seen it at. It might pop in my head later. I have seen that. But it's actually supposedly really planted in high population in Lodi. Now, we were at the, I was at the, you know, Wine Bloggers Conference last year. I didn't hear a word about that, but I don't know if my radar would have picked it up back then.
Right.
But also Mendocino County, Russian River, Napa Valley, Santa Cruz, Santa Rita.
I've not seen it in Napa. I was just out there in February.
Yeah, I have not seen it at all. And it's interesting because in Italy, it's growing up high in cooler climates, yet Lodi, Mendocino, that's not exactly cool climate, you know, cool climate. So it's kind of interesting. But again, it's Charbano and not Dolcetto. So that makes, have Chuck. You're stuck in Lodi. That sounds like a good place to go. Yeah. Hi, Chuck. Lodi actually was a really nice place. I was very, very surprised by, I was expecting it to be like the song, and it was really, really nice. So we have to give a shout out to Lodi and all of the wineries that introduced themselves to us at the Wine Bloggers Conference. So
yeah, I missed that one.
Yeah. It was fun. But
yeah. That I'll be there this year.
Yeah. That is pretty much all I have. I have a little bit about Dagliani, but I'll talk about that when I get to our wines. So you got characteristics. How was that?
I've got characteristics. Well, I'll tell you. What happened to the slide?
Uh-oh. Technical difficulty?
Yeah, hold on. Slide presentation. Characteristics.
Uh-oh. It's black. All I'm seeing is black.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you're going to have to wing it.
I'm going to have to wing it? No, I'm going to bring it up on my computer.
Well, how about going to, like, next slide?
This is a really pretty picture, too.
Aww.
Next slide?
No. That's not working.
Okay, next. Oh, man. Wait a second. Bounce, flip?
No. This is different than what it normally looks like. You know, it's not Wine for Bet Street unless we have technical difficulty.
I know. Start a slide presentation. Hold on. Create a new slide.
No, you don't want to create a new slide.
I'm going to see if I can upload it.
Oh, let me see.
Got some great pictures of all the different fruits, color, chocolate covered, cherries.
You know what? All of these are different. I think they were uploaded incorrectly. Sorry. Because this isn't what it looked like in the past.
I uploaded it just like I uploaded last time.
Because I normally don't see this none slide, fade, flip. I don't see that. I actually just normally see what the presentation is.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's wing it. It's okay.
So hold on, preview. It was just so pretty with all the different, yeah. Oh, there we go. Start. That's odd.
Okay, we're good. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Okay.
See?
Oh, look at that licorice. Oh my God, I'm pointing at my screen like you can see it. I don't know if
the
you can.
Chocolate covered cherries.
Oh my God, those things are like my favorite thing on the face of the earth.
There can be some earth characteristics to it. Plum, black raspberries, black cherry, licorice, some coffee, some tea leaves, some violets. It's you know, actually a very, very complex type of grape when you really think about it. And I think it's because it can grow anywhere, and it takes up the characteristics of wherever it is grown. So, you know, you can't say that there's like, you're going to have each of these fruit characteristics in the wine. The wine's going to have some of it. So there'll be, you know, it'll be a deep ruby color, you know, deep or purple color with black cherry plum spice. Actually, the one I have has some really nice spice that turns into licorice, but we'll get to that when we get to our wines.
Sounds so good.
It can be jammy with the, you know, the dark cherries, the black raspberries. It's just, you know, it's very complex. So it really depends on the area and the region that it's grown in, what the flavors are that come into the wine.
So what's above the plum? Is that spice? Above the plum?
This is a little dirt.
Oh, it's dirt. With
this is tea leaves.
Tea leaves. Oh, okay. Tea leaves.
Plum, black raspberry, licorice, violet.
Oh, yeah.
Blackberry, coffee, chocolate-covered cherries.
Oh, you had me at chocolate-covered cherries, man. Those things are like, those things are to die for. Oh my God.
So, you know, I don't think you'll find them in, you know, in every Dolcetto that you have, but you'll find some of them in it. It really depends on where it's grown and the characteristics that the grape takes on out of the soil.
I'm going to give a little look. I wrote down in my tasting notes, chocolate cherry.
Did you?
I did. I did.
I got the licorice in mine. I got the black pepper spice on the finish, just soft. Right. You know, it's really soft black spice that turns right into licorice.
Oh, good, good, good stuff.
It was just, yeah.
Good stuff.
I was just like, wow. So, but we'll save that for when we really get into it.
Yes.
So that's what I got on the characteristics.
All right. So that does bring us to the best part of the evening, what we are drinking. So,
are we going to do the five characteristics, or are we going to do that after?
The quick facts, or you've got more
Yeah.
Now that we'll end with the fast facts.
Okay.
Yep. So this is what I am drinking. Pecinino. Yep. San Luigi Dogliani Dolcetto. So,
and I'm drinking this Dolcetto d'Alba from Gianfranco Alessandria.
Oh, all right. So, first thing I noticed was that the winemaker's or the winery's name is actually on it in rather large font, you know, unlike, you know, France, where you don't know who the winemaker is. You know, with the Carmenere, we couldn't figure out who the winemaker was. So that was nice. But this is what mine looks like in the glass.
Mine might be a little bit more purplier than yours. It's got a little bit more red.
Yeah, mine's like more ruby garnet. Yours is.
Yeah, mine's more purple.
Definitely on the rim. Definitely. Definitely on the rim. So this is, I was shocked. And this is my first Dolcetto ever. So I really had no idea what to expect. And I purposely didn't look at your portion of Wine for Bet Street. I didn't look at what the general characteristics would be because I didn't want to know. I wanted to smell it for myself. But I'm kind of impressed by this.
Now, I'll tell you, I opened it and I tasted it and I was just like, I was impressed too. I was like, wow. And the best part, it's under $20. Or my bottle was under
$20. Mine was, I had to write it down because I knew I was going to forget. I think mine was $16.99.
Okay, mine was like $19 and change with tax.
Oh, okay. So probably,
probably a $17 bottle.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm kind of digging this, and the more it's open,
I have to tell you, I made jalapeno popper mac and cheese for dinner.
Yes,
and I had jalapenos and bacon in it. Oh. And I opened this and poured myself a little bit, and I'm like, this is never going to go.
Right.
I never in my wildest dreams would think. And it actually, I can't say it went wonderfully with it, but it was doable. And I think it had to do with the bacon in it.
Mm.
But yeah. And the jalapenos, it wasn't spicy. But
yeah.
I was impressed.
I did my typical lazy meal. Well, my real lazy meal is either a Clif protein bar or a Clif carbohydrate bar, one of those two. My semi-lazy meal is I made pasta, and I put a little bit of butter in it, and then I sprinkle it in with a Cholula sauce, because I love Cholula sauce, which is a spicy sauce.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I had, butter Cholula pasta. And this, and you know, it was okay. It was.
Yeah, I think this would taste really good with pizza.
Oh, I bet you it would. Well, you know, like, you know.
That's right.
I would think so. The thing that, I mean, at $18 or $19, that kind of takes it out of the sit back and chill on a, you know, weeknight on the porch type drink. Typically, a little bit high for that, but this is like solid on its own. This, in my opinion, you could take this.
Stainless steel fermented.
Yes.
There's no oak.
Right. Now that's an interesting thing about my.
There can't be oak. Don't steal my thing. What? So there's oaked?
This wine is not oaked, but they also.
Okay, neither is.
They also create a superior one, and that one is the only oaked one in Dogliani. So they distinguish themselves by being the only ones that oak it in Dogliani. I don't know about any place else, but that is I read that. But
now my producer, it's kind of interesting, is he actually started and he sold grapes to people.
Okay.
It was a family-owned winery and, you know, began two generations ago. And after the father died, Gianfranco began farming, and he had 4 hectares of vineyards, and he was going to sell it on, you know, to the market. Cousins convinced him to make wine, and so he started to make wine, and today they own 5.5 hectare acres of vineyards, and they rent a hectare acre, and they produce Nebbiolo, Barbera, and Dolcetto.
So the rich cousins nice, and the poor cousins.
You know, a small producer, somebody take that, you know, was just ready to just, you know, sell his crop to somebody else, take it, and go with it. I think they only produce maybe 4,000 cases a year. They 12 bottles, 50,000 bottles.
Right.
I think that's like probably around 4 cases.
Yeah. My guy, me and him, you know, theirs is in bottles too. And when I first looked at the information, I was like, oh, they produce 85,000 cases. Holy casmoly. Like, and I'm doing the math of, you know, cause in their site, it tells how much vineyard they have.
Right.
And, you know, and I'm going to my UC Davis knowledge and I'm going, that does not make sense. There's no way. They have to be sourcing a heck of a lot of fruit in order to do this. And then I kind of reread it and it's bottles. It's not
cases.
Yeah,
they talk in bottles. I found that when I was in Burgundy, when I asked how much they produce, they talk in bottles.
Yeah, they so
Petchanino.
Yeah. Petchanino, Orlando Petchanino. He is the winemaker and the owner, and he is actually the fourth generation winemaker, and their soil, it stuck out of my head. It's calcareous. It stuck out of my head because Paso has a lot of calcareous soil. But they produce 85,000 bottles. So I had to pull out the calculator because that's not happening in my head.
Right.
So that comes out to be about 7,000 cases. So They're small. They're still kind of, you know, they're still in the small.
Right. So what region is yours from? Because mine's from Alba to Alba.
Mine is Dagliani.
And here they have clay, limestone, and sandy soils.
Oh, okay. Mine is Dagliani. And supposedly, like I said, that's where Dolcetto is supposedly the happiest, where it originated from.
Right.
But they only have 54 acres. Not that that's a little, but when you do the math to multiply that out to 85,000 cases, you know that doesn't happen. So
bottles.
Yeah. So 54 acres and everything is hand harvested. They are meticulous in their canopy management and their, you know, maintenance of the vines. They hand harvest. And as I said earlier, they are the only winery. So you got to share what you know. They're the only winery in Dagliani that, for the superior, that oak age their Dolcetto. But I got raspberries, black cherries, and on the aromas, but then in the mouth was, on the palate, first thing that popped in my head was chocolate-covered cherries, like chocolate cherries.
Oh, wow. I wish I could sit and taste yours.
I know. I wish you could do it through the screen.
I got like violets and plum. I got dark fruit nose. And then I got the blackberries. I got the spice, black spice, mm-hmm. that ended up turning into licorice.
Okay. I don't have any licorice. What's your tannin level?
I would say medium.
Okay. I went with medium minus. There's enough there, you know, to hold the body and to, you know, to sit there on your palate, but it's not strong at all in the tannin. And
no.
When would you recommend? Now mine's a 16.
And mine's a 15.
Okay. When would you recommend drinking this by?
I would say this is probably good this year, next year.
Yeah,
I think it'll hold up much longer.
Yeah, that's what I had said. I'm like, it can cellar, but you're looking at 3 years, you know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go beyond. And I didn't look that up online because that didn't pop in my head until I actually tasted this. But
right.
I wonder, did you see anywhere what the recommended drinking age is?
Did I see? I don't think I did.
Man, there's like so little information on this. We need somebody to come in and help us out with the with more of this Dolcetto stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm looking over my notes here. Low acidity, they don't age well. Drink now or within 5 years.
Oh, okay. All right.
So we're pretty much spot on.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know? And that's just from taste.
Yeah, just the tannin,
you know.
But I'm enjoying this. I'm not gonna lie,
enjoying this one too.
I like this better than my Carmenere of last month's Wine for Bet Street.
Yes,
you agree? Yeah, it's mm-hmm. I'm gonna have to now I have this whole vision in my head. I'm gonna do although I couldn't find the only two DOCs I found was yours, the D'Alba and the Dagliani. But I wonder if maybe Larry, shouting out to you again, can you help us out here?
Down in Florida.
Yeah, down in Florida. Okay. Maybe we can get a couple of different DOCs. That would be like an awesome tasting. Like
that would be a really great tasting.
Right? To compare the different DOCs. Because they're all 100% Dolcetto, so it would definitely be the what it brought in from the terroir. So
yeah,
I think
because they just pick up whatever,
yeah,
and it grows well everywhere.
Right. So maybe we can start hunting around for Dolcettos and add our little wine studio get together in October. Maybe we'll reach out to the crew that's going to the party, and
everybody brings a Dolcetto.
Yeah, right. There you go.
That'd be a sign, everybody.
Party in our room. Yeah. So you ready to go on to
sure.
The food pairings? Now, did you
sure,
get
that's you.
Yeah, did you get how that worked? Cuz I see my dolcetto pairings.
Yeah.
Start.
How
did you get it to go? What button did you hit?
I hit slide.
Slide.
And then next.
And then next. No!
Oh my gosh.
Can you see if you can do it?
Stop the slide presentation.
All right.
I'll. This is pairings, right?
Yep.
I wonder what happened. What didn't work? Because they were in there.
Yeah, it does look different than last month from like my side. But whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we'll wing it. Here we go.
Yes.
So food pairings. Although
there you go.
You have it?
It should work. Now.
Yeah.
Preview. There we go.
I'm not seeing it.
Yeah. All right, here. Can you
here we go.
Over?
Yay! Okay.
You take over doing it?
Yes, I'll take over. Okay. I can see next. All right. So, dolcetto pairings. So, you have to admit, that's a beautiful grape right there. Right off the bat.
That is absolutely beautiful.
Okay. So, not my photo, but it is... Whenever you are on my website and anything I do, when you see photos that look like that, all credit goes to UC Davis. Okay, these are all UC Davis photos. When you can't really see the grape or you can't, you know, something's blurry or it's dark, those are my photos. That's how you tell the difference. Okay, pretty grapes, UC Davis. Not pretty grapes, mine. Okay. All right. So.
Oh, see that? I didn't even look at yours.
I know. That's why I was laughing when you said you made that.
I didn't even look at it.
Okay. So cheese-based pastas. That is the number one pairing to go with a dolcetto. So kudos to you. Woohoo!
I wasn't even thinking.
There you go. Okay. They do recommend lamb dishes. Okay. That would not be on my plate ever, but it is.
It would be on mine.
There you go.
I like lamb.
I would just double up on those cheese-based pastas. So lamb dishes, mushroom-based meals, again, not going to be in my plate anywhere on my platter ever. I don't do mushrooms. Ugh, fungus. Okay. Paella, again. Not what I'm eating ever. No seafood in my household.
Oh my gosh, Lori. I eat all this stuff.
Duck? Not happening in my house. Not happening. All right. So those are the main meals that are suggested to go with dolcetto. However, luckily for me, there is a echelon of huge suggestions of cheeses that can go with dolcetto. And cheese is my jam, man. Take away the blue cheeses because of the fungus stuff and all that stuff. And there, I haven't found a cheese I don't like. They actually recommend it with American cheese, Colby, mild cheddar. I couldn't believe they actually put this on the website. Velveeta? It was on the website.
I can't go well with that. But.
No. Not happening. Not happening. No Velveeta.
Either.
Double Gloucester, which is similar to a cheddar. Fontina. Gouda. Mahone, which I love. Manchego. And now this is why I think your dish worked so well, is because the cheese-based pastas, but one of the top cheeses to go with it is actually Monterey Jack and jalapeno Monterey Jack. So,
really?
So I think that has, you know, you nailed it.
I wasn't even thinking, because I've got all these jalapenos from my garden. The next one I'm going to make is poblano mac and cheese, because I got all these poblanos. But the popper, it had cream cheese in it.
Okay.
Cheddar cheese. You know, milk, you make the roux.
Right.
But the jalapenos, I couldn't taste them.
Oh.
Like, it was a large jalapeno, and it was, you know, diced up, sautéed.
The cheese, the cream, the cheese and stuff probably masked it a bit.
And I sprinkled the breadcrumbs on top with, the bacon was in it, but then some crumbled bacon and more jalapenos. But I was like, how is this going to go? But it went.
Yeah, see? You nailed it. You nailed it.
It went well because of the bacon.
Yeah, yeah. Now, interesting, bacon did not show up on there. And pork, no pork dishes.
Wow.
But I agree. I think it would go. It's just not what their
right.
You know, what their thing is. You nailed it. So
there's gonna be mac and cheese week in my house.
I'll be coming over, man. I love mac and cheese.
You're going cross country, so you're not coming down.
I'll make Mike make me my mac and cheese when I get out there. So, but that is pretty much the food pairing. So if you go into, you pick up a Dolcetto, you pretty much can pick up any cheese, hard cheese there, other than Velveeta, but everything else was pretty much a hard cheese. There was no creamy cheese or whatever. But the baked.
So I had cream cheese in mine.
Right. But I don't know. I think it was the combination of everything that you nailed it. I think you did a stellar job.
Yeah.
Probably much better than my pasta and chihula sauce. Definitely you put more effort into it.
I've been craving, actually, that particular mac and cheese. And my husband's not a big mac and cheese person, so since he's not here.
There you go.
So I'm going to take sections of it when it cools down and freeze it.
Oh, there you go.
So I can eat it in the wintertime when I'm sitting home here alone with a bottle of Dolcetto and it's snowing outside and, you know.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I just got the perfect vision of sitting by a fire with a Dolcetto. Oh.
Oh.
Oh, I think I might be in heaven right now. It just... The image came flashing to me, sitting by a fireplace, sipping on a Dolcetto with...
Actually, this is actually a nice fall red.
Yeah, I agree. It's light enough. It's not a heavy red. It is not a heavy red. It is it is light. The tannins are there to give the structure to it, but it's a light... That's what I said.
I wonder if it'll go well with venison. Think of different... I know it's not in your
Bambi!
Area.
Poor Bambi!
But if you think of fall, you think of duck, venison.
I think it would go. I would think it would go.
Yeah.
I don't think more the pure gamey things. Like, I'm not thinking boar. Like, but venison isn't as gamey as like the ostrich and the boar.
Yeah, I'm not an ostrich.
Well, no, never, never in this mouth has an ostrich.
Not just venison are about it for me.
Yeah. Right, but deer would not be very gamey. I'm going scientific by muscle mass and stuff. I'm thinking it's not very gamey. I would stick to the leaner animals that are slaughtered for you to eat. No, I'm only kidding. See, I really don't have a problem with people hunting if they're going to eat, but whatever. It's just not happening. It's not happening in me.
I actually was never a venison fan, and I've had it and living in the Hudson Valley, a lot of my neighbors hunt, go out and hunt on deer season and everything. So I've had it. I was never a big fan, but a couple years ago at the Hudson Valley Wine Fest, one of the chefs, I can't remember his name, but he was this executive sous chef for the Boston Bruins. Arena there. So he made venison. So at the end, and it was Sunday, did you taste my venison? I was like, oh, no, I didn't. He goes, oh, well, you got to taste this. And he was so excited and so proud of it. I'm like, okay. So he gives me this big hunk of venison, and I politely said, my mouth isn't that big, you know. Can you, like, cut that in, like, a quarter? Because all I'm thinking is, I don't like this.
Right.
How am I going to swallow it?
Right, and I got to eat this whole thing now.
I really did like it.
Oh.
And last fall, Paul's cousin, he's a chef at Marina Coles down here in Cape May, or now it's in Avalon. and he made venison. He had put venison on the menu, and they serve it raw. That like chef's way of doing it is it's raw, which totally skews me out. But I actually ordered it, and I was fine.
Oh,
okay. Or rare. I shouldn't say raw. It was like medium rare.
Right. Yeah.
And I was fine, and I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it.
I don't mind that people eat meat. I really don't. The majority of meat I don't eat is because I don't like the taste of it. Mike says it's all about the mouthfeel. So I just don't like beef. Seafood just makes me nauseous. So I don't like the taste of it, but like, I will not eat Bambi. I will not eat Thumper. I will not. I'm sorry, you know, and I can't, you know, the little cute little lamb, I can't do it. I just can't.
That's fine.
Other people can. I don't care. All more power to you. You can eat whatever you want. Just, you know, give me a salad, please. Go out to dinner together.
No problem.
I'm at your house. Just have a salad and I'm happy, you know.
But no problem.
Anyway. So that was the food pairings. So what do we got left? We got your fast facts, huh?
Fast facts. There we go.
Oh, yay.
No, I loaded it.
Oh, okay.
You know what happened is I didn't finish everything to load before I exited out of the program last night.
Oh, okay.
That could have been.
See, we live, we learn.
Anyway, that's right. So the little sweet one, Dolcetto, is called, but it's not little, and it's not sweet. The next is, it's grown in Piedmont and also Liguria, and Liguria is right here, which is the next region over, and there it's called Amaresco.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And then we have, when they age Dolcetto in oak, when it's aged for 20 months, it's called Vigna.
Oh.
So if you see a Dolcetto that says Vigna on it, then you know it's been aged in oak for 20 months.
And that's regulated. It must be 20 months to get that name.
I guess. Yeah. Dolcetto has multiple personalities. It really depends on where it's grown and what it takes in from the terroir. So like, as you saw with the colors between my Dolcetto and Lori's Dolcetto, where hers was more, ruby and much more red undertones to it, where mine is much more purple. Same grape, different terroir, different region, different personality. And harvest. It is the first to harvest, and it usually will begin in the end of September. And with that being said, it's also a drink young, you know, wine. You want to drink it young. So that's what I got.
All right.
Dolcetto.
Oh, you know what? I think it was a fun exercise, Dolcetto. I mean, I learned a lot, even though there wasn't a lot of history on it. And
I did too.
I learned I like a new grape varietal. That's what I learned.
Me too. Me too. And I even made dinner tonight to match the grape varietal, and I didn't even know it.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it when a plan comes together. Gotta love it.
Yeah, that is. So, well, we hope you enjoyed tonight's edition of Wine for Bet Street. I know we have.
Yes, we have.
And next month.
Next month. So I will let you make the announcement, but I have to share what I've done this month. So
Okay. Next
month is E, and I wanted to find, you know, there's not very much out there with the letter E. So I hunted around and I tried to find, and I'm going to destroy this name, but it's something like Erlenfelscher, something like that. And it is in BC, and it is apparently very widespread in BC. So I contacted so many wineries trying to get them to be able to ship down to the United States to us so we can try this grape and promote this grape that is in Canada. And it didn't work. Didn't happen. Then I found out there was a Native American grape called Elvira. And, oh my God, I was like jumping through the roof. I was like, woohoo, this is it, Elvira. It's October.
Oh,
it's
now we could have dressed in black wigs.
See?
We could have had such a blast with that.
See, it's like, I wanted Elvira so badly. I only found one winery that produced Elvira, sent them an email, and I didn't get a response. So we wanted to make sure we knew what the letter E was for this month, for today, so that we can announce it on the webinar. So no Elvira. So drum roll. Debbie, what is the letter E stand for?
Etna.
And yeah, it's not a grape, but what is it, it's Debbie?
It's an area.
And where?
It's in Italy.
It is in Italy. It is Sicilian. Yeah. Correct? Yeah. Right? It is Sicilian.
Yep. It's on the island of Sicily.
Right. So that is Etna. What? Etna. Yes. That is what the letter E will be. So Elmo will be singing. The letter of the day is E. And it stands for Etna.
So well, till next month, it's October 16th, Monday night, 8 o'clock, same time, same bat channel.
There you go.
We hope to see you there.
Do you have the link then, or no? Do we have a link or no?
I did. I put the link up in here.
Oh, I don't have the chat going. Dang it.
Yeah, I put the link up in the chat.
Perfect.
Where you can register for next month.
All right. So until next month, hope you have some big pours and sláinte. Yeah.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dracena Wines Podcast. If you have suggestions of what topics you would like us to discuss, please reach out to us on social media or at dracenawines@gmail.com. If you liked our podcast, please subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting program you use. To easily subscribe at iTunes, please go to bit.ly/DracenaPodcast. That's bit.ly/D for Dracena and P for podcast. We would greatly appreciate you leaving a review on your favorite system. It helps others to find us. Let's get social. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Pinterest, YouTube, Google+, and Periscope at Dracena Wines. And I am on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd. Check out our award-winning wine at DracenaWines.com. And remember to always pursue your passion. Sláinte!